Father, you're gracious and you're kind. We rejoice in you. Thank you for the tremendous privilege that we have to be here this morning. Thank you for health, and thank you for the rest that we were able to get and the opportunity that we have to gather. And we come underneath the banner of your Son, the banner of truth, the banner of his righteousness. That's why we gather. It's why we celebrate. It's why we've been called to worship. And beyond that, Father, we want to be equipped. We want to be used by you. We are instruments in your hands. And we pray that you would continue to guide us, that you would help us to be clean vessels, that you would allow us to be instruments that are at the task. And as we consider evangelism and the training, Father, that you would, in every single way, bless us with a greater understanding, that we could understand the gospel with precision so that we could share it with precision, that we could live it with precision. And so we just give you praise for the opportunity to gather. We ask that you'll bless your word, and that any discussions or any questions that we have will be answered directly by it. We pray for your Spirit to be at work and to illuminate our path so that we can see with clarity. And we thank you again for this opportunity. Amen. Am I still mic? Is it still coming through? Oh, okay. I thought I lost it for a second. Well, if you're joining us for the first time today, perhaps you are because you were encouraged last week and or somebody invited you to come catch the evangelism training. You're here for the first time. We're on our third Sunday of seven that's taking us through basic fundamental evangelism training. And as we've mentioned throughout the class, it's intended to both educate us about the theological truths that are connected with evangelism, but more than that, it's designed to equip us so that we can engage those that God has placed around us in the world, that we can reach them with the gospel. Last week, we spent some time looking at what the Bible says about the gospel, and then we looked at how the Bible defines the gospel before turning our attention to what we need to zero in on so that we can clearly share that message, the good news, with other people. And we said that the gospel has four parts, right? There's four aspects of the gospel that we want to feature, that when we're being ready to, well, one, we've already prayed, right? All right. And we've already, pray, three P's, pray, pursue, proclaim, right? We pursued open doors. And then we get a chance to proclaim the message. There's four aspects that we want to include. And they are. And somebody jumped right up to say what they were because there's a $10 Chipotle gift certificate on the line. Who's got them? Come on, four. You need to mention this, 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 and this, okay? It involves four things. All right, hang on. Let's hear it. God, man, Jesus, response. You enjoy lunch on your church, all right? That's exactly right. We talked about the holiness of God, and we talked about the sinfulness of man. We talked about the exclusivity of Christ, okay? And we also received a homework assignment. We did. And one of the challenges that we were given in the assignment included some scripture memorization, okay? And the passages were Genesis 6:5 and Romans 3:10-12, and then I think also Romans 3:23. I think were the three sets of verses. Does anyone? All right, we're going big time here. We're going Chipotle and a gospel book, okay? Where it's like, we raised the bar. We raised the bar. Can anyone recite those scriptures for us? Anyone? Yes, Ben! Let's go for it, brother. Isaiah 6:5, and that whatever translation you memorize, it's fine. Just let it go. Genesis 6. This is this week's. Yeah. Genesis 6:5. Yes, that's right. And then Romans 3:10, as it is written, not even one. Yes. All right. And then Romans 3:23. Don't apply to me. No, I'm just kidding. It did apply to me. Okay. That's a sermon joke from the past. Sorry. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Woo! All right. Great work, my friend. Lunch on us. If you already have the book, you certainly can gift it to somebody else. And it will be a great discipleship tool to use. You know, one of the things that I've shared with people in the past, and it's so true, that when you are equipped with the gospel, you have enough to meet with any person for the sake of discipleship and have a conversation every time you meet. Really. Without preparation, I mean, we want to be prepared when we meet, and we want to be intentional when we pour in. But you can pick any aspect of the gospel, right? God's holiness, you can't exhaust it looking at the scriptures. Man's sinfulness, any aspect. What we're going to talk about today will certainly be a blessing. So last week we emphasized God's holiness. We said that he wasn't just holy, that he was perfect in all of his attributes. He was perfectly holy. We shared that he created us to serve him, to love him, and to live under his authority. But we have rebelled against God, choosing instead to serve and love ourselves and to reject God's authority in our lives. And the Bible makes no mistakes about our rebellion. We just heard those verses, right? We all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark of perfection. And I love that the word perfection or perfect purity when talking about God and witnessing to somebody, because it narrows the field pretty quick, doesn't it? It sure does. But yet, while we were yet sinners, he provided a way for us to be reconciled to him. He sent his son, Jesus, into the world, and unlike us, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. And then he died on the cross as a sacrifice for sinners, and he absorbed the full wrath of God's fury, right, for the sins of the world. He paid the debt in full for sin. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and what Jesus accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection made it possible for the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. And this is a work that only God can do. And this brings us right to the place that we ended last week when we said that we were going to talk about the sinner's response, okay? So we've already featured those three aspects that I just shared with you: God's holiness, man's sinfulness, the exclusivity of Christ. There's only one way. And then now there's a response that has to come from believers. We introduced them just at the last portion of our session. We said those responses were faith and repentance. Well, one of the homework assignments was to define these terms. Would anyone be willing to read their brief definitions for the terms faith and repentance? And let me just qualify this. I'm not looking for a Wayne Grudem systematic theologian's response, okay? I'm just looking for a basic understanding of faith and repentance. Anyone got them for us? Okay, I'm going to the vault. Okay, we got Starbucks. And if we have to beg, we'll go with the book too. I mean, come on. Faith. All right, here we go. Charlotte's... Okay, and that's, you know what, biblically that's defined, but there's a key word that we're looking for when we're talking about the word and faith, and it's an active word. If we're talking about pistuo is in the Greek word, there's a word that I'm looking for. When we have faith, we respond to Christ in a specific way. It's a T word. Oh, as if you didn't know. Yes.
We trust in Christ or believe, right? That's what, and we're going to talk about this today. So do you have a definition for repentance? That's right. We turn from the sinful way and we turn to God's way. That's repentance. How about a round of applause for Charlotte? Thank you for being brave. And this is the general understanding, and this is what we're going to talk about. When we're talking about the sinner's response, we're talking about what must a person believe, okay, in order to be saved. Can a person trust in Jesus Christ for salvation as their Savior only? Or does a person have to repent and recognize that Jesus Christ is both Savior and Lord? Well, we're going to do something. We're going to see what the Bible has to say, right? It's not based on any man's opinion. It's based on what our scriptures have to say. And I want to let you know that each of you have already received today's handout. If you brought your Bible with you, you got today's handout, okay? And we're going to spend some time, and I'm going to need some group participation here, some help, and we'll need some people who will just read some scriptures for us, and anyone can raise their hand. Would someone be willing to read for us Luke 8:12? Who's got that one? Willing to read Luke 8:12 for us? And resist the temptation to read it first. Right, it's like, does it have any words in it that I'm not going to know how to pronounce? No, you'll be fine. All these are safe scriptures, okay? All right, Jerry, thank you. You can do that in just a moment. I need somebody to read Acts 16:31. All right, thank you, Melissa. All right, John 3:18. Anyone? Anyone? John 3:18, all right. Albert's got it in the back. And that's all for this portion, all right? And so can a person trust in Jesus Christ for salvation as their Savior only? Let's read what the scriptures say. Luke 8:12. Who has it? Jerry, I think. Go ahead. Okay, so there we have it right there. And this, in the context, is Luke's version of the parable of the soils, right? And it says very clearly that the seed was planted, right? And then the devil comes and takes away the word from the heart, so that they will not what? Jerry, what'd you say? That they will not. That they'll not believe and be saved. Okay, great. All right, Acts 16:31. All right, Acts 16:31. Apostles are out. They're doing the work of the evangelists. They're fulfilling their ministry, as Paul challenged and wrote to Timothy. And it says here, and it's recorded by Luke in Acts, in that account, they said, what was that first word you said? They said, believe, yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be what? You'll be saved, okay? Very straightforward, a blessing. And then we have John 3:18. I think you have that, Albert, in the back. Okay, and here we have it. Condemnation awaits those who don't believe, right? If they don't believe and they don't trust in Christ, right, condemnation awaits. But whoever believes in him is not condemned. Okay, we see it right there. And in all of these three instances, it's the Greek word pistuo, which is talking about belief. It's talking about trust, trusting in. That is faith. And it demands trust. Okay. Well, let's keep moving right along. We Also want to take a look at some other verses that will help us see repentance, okay? And I mark these verses on my sheet. Jesus says, Lord, okay? And that means that Christ comes and he brings authority with him into a person's lives, and he gives instructions as it relates specifically. And so, who can read Matthew 4:17? Somebody willing to take that for us? All right, you got it? Thank you, Will. Luke 13, verses 3 to 5, a little bit longer. A couple of these are a little bit longer. All right, thank you, brother. Luke 23, 45 to 47. Okay, you got it, Ben? Luke 23, verses 45 to 47. You got it? And then Acts 2:38. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. Here we go. Let's go ahead and get started. And so now we're looking at verses that focus and will draw our attention to repentance. Okay? Let's start with Matthew 4:17. Right. So Jesus starts his earthly ministry. One of the first words that comes out of his mouth as it relates to the command, the gospel command, is to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay. And then we have the Lord's words also. Actually, the only one not, or the only passage that isn't the Lord speaking, is Acts 2:38, so I can not be a skipping record. Okay, who's got Luke 13, 3 through 5 for us? Yes, thank you, Ryan. That's exactly right. Repentance, unless you repent, you will perish. Luke 23, 45 to 47. Who's got that one for us? Can't remember. Oh, Ben, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you in 20? Are you in 23? Luke 23, 45 to 47. Oh, that's okay. That's what threw me off then. You're okay then. I was like, okay. And that was an excellent reading of Luke 23:45 to 47. But the problem is that we need Luke 24, okay, 45 to 47. So that's on me. You did a great job reading, all right? But I need you to turn one more chapter and make up for my grave mistake, please, and read Luke 24:45 to 47. Okay, and then we have Acts 2:38, and I think you got that right, John? Thank you. Yes. Yeah, repent, right? And so here we have it, and we can use the simple definition that Charlotte gave to us, that it's a call. The call of repentance is a call from turning from living a life of serving self and serving sin, which we're enslaved to, right? And it's turning to God to live for him. It's turning to follow him. It's turning to learn from him. And repentance, you've heard me say it before, literally means, right? Metanoia literally means a renewal of our mind. We have to learn and have our minds trained to understand how God would have us live, and there's a focus on it. So which is it? Can a person recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior only, or does a person have to repent and recognize Jesus Christ both as Savior or Lord? I think the scriptures have answered that those questions for us, right? They have. And what so we've spent the last 2 weeks, and the purpose of our training, what we're doing in this process, is making sure that we master the message. We have to bring the full gospel to people so that they calculate the cost and all that's required when they are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's very appropriate to describe them in terms of lenses when we're looking at the scriptures. We have two eyes. You can go ahead and cover up one of your eyes, and you've done this before probably as a kid, and maybe even tried to do some things. Maybe were challenged in a class that was talking about your eyes. When you cover up one of your eyes, what do you lose? What is it? Go ahead, say it, Caroline. Yeah, I actually have something for you too. I actually printed out that a whole. I was thinking about you and our conversation last week, and we may cover this if we get to the end, but I wanted to get it to you before I forgot. But we lose our depth perception, right? And the same is true when we're looking at the gospel through the lens of Scripture, right? And if we cover up one of our eyes, we don't see it for all that it is. We don't see the depth. We don't see the understanding. And so we can't preach the gospel with one eye. We can't do that. It takes both. And this is something that they taught us in seminary, and it's something that I'm sure that you've heard this before, just as it relates to theology and major church doctrines, but they share that this was a critical lesson, that all major church doctrines are revealed in multiple scriptures and cannot be drawn from single passages. All major church doctrines, and certainly the gospel is one of the most important, and must consider, okay, they cannot be drawn from single passages and must consider the full counsel of God, okay? And this last portion is so important. And we have seen the danger of an incomplete gospel in evangelical churches across the country. Everyone that has a theological insight into the importance of having the depth of the gospel, and thankfully we have men who have called us to see the full scope of the gospel, the truth of it. One of my favorite verses, and again, we have no higher authority to go to than the book that we hold in our hands. But I want to mention just a couple of passages. One of my favorite is Mark 1:15, and if you'll turn there, if you got your Bibles, I want to read this together, because this actually allows us to see both of them, okay? Both of them together. Somebody want to read that for us? Mark 1:15. Anyone, you can just start reading and we'll listen. Yes, there it is. There we have both words right there for us. And so I rejoice in that. That's one of it's one of my favorite gospel verses. It's one of my favorite verses, Mark 1:15. Why? Because it highlights and features both of them for us. Okay? There could be a struggle, right? And the thing that I shared that they taught us, and something that's important for every believer to know as it relates to primary church doctrines, there are multiple scriptures, right, that talk about believing, right? And so if you go ahead and cling to that understanding that we need to take all major church doctrines from multiple scriptures, can you do it? just based on belief. Can you do it? Yeah, you can. And people have. But the reality is that the gospel demands that we see the full counsel, the full counsel of God. Acts 20, 21. Somebody, if you'll turn there for us. We want to read this one too. And these are scriptures again that Mark 1:15 and Acts 20:21 are verses that we need to draw in close to, that help us and are good verses to reflect on before we go out and share the gospel. We want to make sure that we share the full counsel of God. What's it say? Anyone? Acts 20:21. That's right. Repentance towards God, right? Turning from sin, just as Charlotte shared for us, and turning towards God, and then trust, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the complete gospel message, and it's to both Jew and to Gentile. And this is another very important verse, because people talk about the transition from the time that Christ came on the scene to the through the intertestamental period, and that those years of silence. And then they would claim that repentance was something that was emphasized in the Old Testament, but isn't necessary to justify or qualify a person's faith in the New Testament. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ, how he starts his ministry with repentance. And my favorite version of the Great Commission is what Ben read the second time. Luke 24, 45 to 47. Okay? And I want to spend just a few moments, if we can, talking about what is the danger if a person only believes in Christ as Savior with no mention of repentance. You can think about that for just a moment. But what would be some of the dangers? There's more than one. If a person believes and they trust in Jesus Christ, but they have no understanding of repentance, what could that produce? That's right. That's right. There's no standard except that by faith that they believe in Jesus, right? They can even believe in what he's accomplished on the cross, right? Because it's not believing just mere facts about the Lord. We all get that. It's about believing in him. It's about our trust in him and the work that he's done. But Charlotte got the major one. There's purity, right? If the church is to be pure, then certainly that's going to impact it. The sin will continue. And people will think that it's okay to go ahead and continue clinging to the sins of their past, or living a life that they lived before they believed. What else is produced? Yeah, that's right. Proximity, for sure. Because built within our repentance, we have to draw near to God, right? We have to go to him in confession. That's a great insight. We need to, and Wayne Grudem's, and we're going to get to repentance in just a moment, so I won't elaborate on that right now. But that certainly proximity. Anything else anyone think of? Go ahead, James. What's that? So, without understanding repentance, right? Without turning and understanding that you need to turn from sin, is there true salvation? That's the issue. That's the issue. Can there be genuine salvation, and can a person believe, and that be enough to be justified before a holy God? A divine declaration whereby the believer is pardoned and justified before God just through belief. It's incomplete. That's the greatest danger. And that's what should create a concern in all of our hearts. All of ours, as we have this stewardship to share the gospel with people, that we get it right. That it's just that when we are out and about, or we're talking to a coworker who has been going to maybe even another church, another Bible-based church, for years, right? And they talk. Why? Because there's churches that will actually teach just to believe. It's a scary place. What? So nobody said it, but easy believism is something that is marketed within the evangelical churches, or evangelical churches, however you want to say it, right? It's making it easy for people to come to Christ, right? It emphasizes an ease. It says that there is no cost, right? You can trust in Christ. You can trust in Him, and you can have His righteousness, and you can have eternal life. And your life can just continue. And that's not what the Scriptures teach. Okay? Now, I want to turn the table a little bit. I think all of us will be able to relate to this in even greater capacity. What is the danger if someone focuses so much on repentance that the faith component of the gospel is minimized? What happens there? Let's talk about that one for a minute. What happens? What's that? No spiritual growth. No, so they're okay. So I believe I understand what you're saying there. So they're emphasizing repentance. Okay, well, and I could see, and you can tell me if I'm not understanding you correctly, but that certainly spiritual growth, if we're so focused on, no, I don't know that I'm tracking 100% here. I'm just saying, yeah. So I'm saying if we focus on repentance, turning from our sin, okay, and we focus on that, but we don't focus on the aspect of the gospel that we're trusting in Christ, what are some of the dangers that come out of that? That's what I'm asking for specifically. John. What's that? A risk. That's one of the primary for sure, right? All of a sudden it becomes a works-based faith, right? It becomes doing, right? And believing gets minimizing. Trusting gets minimized. What else? Ed, were you going to say the same thing? Okay. Yeah, an emphasis on guilt and shame, right? And certainly within repentance. In fact, Wayne Grudem's definition is a heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, a sincere commitment to forsake it, and to walk in obedience with Christ. That's how he defines repentance, okay? So there is a sorrow for sin, right? That is real. But if you camp out in the world of repentance and you don't see the freedom that faith provides, that Christ did it all, that he paid it, and there's not a balance there, what happens? Right? What else happens, right? It becomes works-based. It becomes what else? Wrong motivations. Certainly the heart motive is not there, right? I mean, and that's where faith and repentance, and that's why they're so intertwined, and that's why they both must be seen to see the full depth of the gospel, because if you start to focus on either too much, it's dangerous ground. Somebody had their hand up and was going to say something. Donna. judgmental of others, right? Because why? I'm repenting. I don't know why. Every sermon that I've ever preached, when I talk about repentance, I always turn to face this wall, okay? I never turn to face that wall, okay? This is God's way right here. This is God's side over here, everybody. This is so funny. I just noticed myself doing that. I was going back to turn again, and I was like, we're not going to pursue sin. We're going to turn back towards God. Okay? We're not going to pursue sin, okay? And we're going to turn. That's right. That's right. And you know what we do? We focus so much on repentance that we start to turn and we start to look around and say, well, who else is repenting? And how well are they repenting? How complete is their repentance? How full is their repentance? Dangerous ground, right? Dangerous, dangerous ground. There's a host of things that come with it. And faith can be minimized and made unimportant. Okay? Anyone else got something else that comes to mind? Oh, I'm sorry. And Bill had his hand up, but Bill, we're coming right to you. Yeah. And I think if I can paraphrase what you're saying, and or maybe just even accent what you're saying a little bit, I think that there is fuel, right? There is something that fuels us within our heart motive for repentance by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ too. There's a connection there, right? There's a definite connection. And when we lose that, then all of a sudden it does. It can be turning for the sake of turning. Bill, you were going to say something.
Yes.
Thank you for being gracious.
It seems to me that if you focus on repentance and you understand what Scripture says, that as far as the east from the west, or you're cast into the depths of the sea, we tend to go fishing and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and the focus is negative rather than faith.
Okay. Yeah. So certainly there's an opportunity within repentance to also dwell on sin, right? And live, I think another way to feature this or to share it is to focus on the struggle and the battle with lust and sin, right? And not cling to faith. Right? Faith has us cling to that victory that is in Christ, that victory that is ours, that victory that is enablement, that is power, that gives us the power. Greater is he who lives in us than he who is in the world, right? We don't have to get caught up. Our repentance can think about us turning from the things of this world, and we lose sight of the power that we have in Christ. Anyone else have? Go ahead. Ching. Yeah. So with repentance, again, there can be bondage, right? And all of a sudden, this book becomes a to-do list, right? And there's more focus on the terms of living, right, than the terms of justification by faith. See, God does call us according to a set of terms. He calls us to terms that we have to come to in the gospel by faith to be declared righteous, right? And with those terms come our help and our assistance in growing in our sanctification, to become more like him, to be conformed more like him. Excellent. Excellent discussion. I rejoice in the opportunity that we have to look so clearly at and celebrate the message. And it goes without saying what a privilege and a stewardship that God has entrusted to every person in this room, right? And again, this is about us looking vertical, and it's about us looking to the Word of God, and it's about us being effective instruments in His hands as we go out and we bring the full orb, the full scope of the gospel to people. And really, it's profound, but there's a simplicity there, and people just don't know what it is. They just don't. They don't know what that message is. They don't, and we do. And we have stewardship, right? We've been entrusted with that ministry of reconciliation in the gospel. That's been given to us, and I want us to take something from this training, friends. Take this. If you take anything else from this training, take this: is that you have something that the world needs. You have the message. And there are people who are underneath the banner of evangelical churches, right, who do not have a complete gospel. But you do. You do. And we're called to steward that. And this is why we're having the training. This is why we're celebrating the gospel. When we have these discussions, there's great fellowship right here. We see it, and it fuels us, and it encourages our hearts so that we'll be ready to embrace it. In fact, I'm preaching. I didn't post it on Facebook, and I normally will post the message that I'm preaching. I'm preaching from John 10, verses 22 to 30 today. And I did that because it was so closely connected to what we're accomplishing in our training that there's something of great significance, and that's to bring the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ into our evangelism. And it was what we were doing here. That's my heart was burdened to preach that passage, and that was certainly God's work taking place. Well, how are we doing on time? 10:22. Well, there's never anything wrong with finishing a little bit early, but I do want to share homework assignment and then also talk about something as it relates to next week. Since there was no handout, and everyone should still have the schedule for the class, and I'm not sure if we have those posted online. Jonathan, I was going to ask you, do we have the schedule for the equipping hour schedule? Have we put that online? Do you know? Okay, I think it's probably on there under the folder. I haven't been there to check. So if anybody would know, that man would know. All right. So thankful for Jonathan and his team. But the homework for this week is to share your testimony in one page, okay? And so we are going to talk next week about mastering what God has done in our life. We want to be efficient with our testimony. And the title of next week's training is, really it's what's up with you. What has God done in your life? How has He worked in your life? And we want to get good at sharing an abbreviated version of our testimony with people. And there's going to be something very exciting that happens with this, because next week, Pastor Marcus is bringing two brothers with him from Czech Republic, okay? And so we're very excited that he's bringing Daniel and Alesh, right, with him. And we are hoping that those two men will have an opportunity to share their testimonies over the next couple Sundays right here in our equipping hour and encourage us just with the consistency of the gospel at work, not only here in Los Angeles, but over in a country where the soil is so, so hard to till. Also, we're being called to continue our memorization of scriptures. And so we want to keep, we don't want to forget last week's scriptures on the holiness of God. We want to build all these to form our arsenal so that when we evangelize that we can go right to them. just in case somebody's not willing to allow us to open up our Bibles and share, we can share God's word straight from what we've memorized and straight from what we know and understand. This week, it's John 14:6. These are pretty easy verses, okay? I think a lot of people already have these down. John 14:6, right? I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Acts 4:12, okay? Salvation is found in no one else. No other name has been given under heaven by which we must be saved. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him, okay? And so we'll have those, and of course, there'll be more incentives for us next week. We're done, all right? It's early, all right? And all God's people said, amen. I hope your hearts are encouraged. We got a gospel message that's coming from the pulpit this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to enjoy some fellowship. And Huey, can I ask you to close our time?